you can build an impressive short-term rental business from the ground up with a little help from John and Jeanette. These successful Airbnb and Vrbo hosts have experienced and documented the blood, sweat, and tears it can take to really stand out from the pack.
Welcome to Stand Out.
Hey, everybody, it's John.
And Jeanette.
And we're back.
Yay.
So after a few months of some little hiatus here on the podcast, and we've had some major changes at the Dockside property and some changes with us, all good stuff. And these are things we'll cover in future episodes, so we'll just leave you guessing for now a little bit on those. We're super happy to be back. We've got some really great episodes of podcasts already blocked out for coming in the coming weeks and months here, including part two of Listener Questions. That was a great episode. Everybody really liked that podcast, and we've got a whole other one blocked out for that. We're finally going to get to the marketing episode or episodes, whatever it takes. We got a lot of specific requests on our Facebook page and things like that for, hey, when are you going to share all your marketing secrets? And we're in a good position to do that now. So we're excited about that. And frankly, it kind of ties into the changes at the Dockside because we just got validation that the value of your STR property goes way beyond just the real estate value when you have a business and a marketing position in your market. It just adds value to your STR property. And we can't wait to share more about that here coming up soon. But for this week's podcast, we're going to take a deep dive into a recent stay that we just got back from. We went down to Columbia, not the cartel Medellin Columbia, but the South Carolina Columbia. And we're super excited to kind of share some of the learns from that stay. We're calling this episode Notes from the Host, or The Host Without the Most, the five-star stay that could have been a five-star and wasn't. So sit back and let's learn from our experience from our host who took a swing and just kind of missed that five-star review, which is what we're all striving for.
Okay, so let's talk about our stay and where we were and what the property was like. So as John said, we went to Columbia, South Carolina. We went there to see a concert and just kind of hang out and have a little weekend getaway. So the place that we stayed, it was a cute, charming little one-bedroom, one-bathroom unit in sort of a multi-unit complex in Columbia. And our first impression was, oh, what a cute little place. Very nicely decorated, and it just looked really cute. And then we started kind of unpacking a little bit and looking around, and that's when we realized, oh my goodness, they really had missed some important things.
Yeah, I mean, if our goal is to stand out and get those five-star reviews, it's clearly there were some misses. And, you know, we can't help ourselves. We tend to check performance of a host when we're the guest against the type of things we talk about on this podcast and the things we've been talking about for almost a year now. You know, my takeaway, Jeanette, was on the surface, everything you would expect in a five-star type property was present. But there's something to be said about, you know, taking it the last mile.
Yeah. I mean, my takeaway is the host did a great job to make the place look like a five-star home. The furnishings, the decor, the lighting, it was really nice. It looked professionally done. But because of just a couple small misses, they didn't provide that five-star experience, which is really what I think is most important. And it was clear to us that they probably never even stayed in the place.
So let's talk about why we even picked this place to begin with. Let's go all the way back to, you know, securing the property 2 months ahead of time, right? We bought the tickets. We're going to a concert, Parker McCollum. Check them out. And that's why we're going to Columbia in the first place. We weren't going there to, you know, check out an Airbnb. We're going for a concert. On the good side, I mean, the pictures were amazing. On their listing, which of course we are huge proponents for always. And honestly, I remember looking at their listing and it reminded me just how bad so many of the other images were on the properties around that area. So again, not to promote past episodes, but I will. If you're not taking good pictures, go back and listen to our podcast on photography. You know, take the value of one night at your property and invest in some killer photography. That'll increase your traffic and increase your rates. I picked this place, to be fair, so pressure was on me. You know, anytime you're going to be a guest and you're selecting it, then you know the onus is on you that this better be a really nice place. So, but I picked this place. It was small and cozy. You know, I personally don't love staying in a huge house when it's just Jeanette and I, even if it's the same price. So we picked the property's location, because it was super close to the venue. You know, again, put on your guest hat now, if not your host, but I was a guest. I mapped out the venue. I saw how far it was from this property, meaning the concert venue from this property. We mapped out some dinner spots that I had picked out, and I made sure that it was easily walkable or was easy to Uber to, so that we weren't going to be in some suburban neighborhood, you know, 30 minutes away from where we needed to get for this concert. The reviews were very good. Either Jeanette and I are just extra picky because we're super host, or I suspect some of these reviews were from their friends that came and stayed and were more concerned with leaving a 5-star review and not telling them the truth. You know, we rented our property, the Dockside Houseboat, to really close friends for the very first rental before anyone else did. And we got really good feedback. I mean, not always fun to hear feedback. We had a chance to hear this feedback and then fix these things. You know, we were already good enough to match up with everybody else. But again, our podcast is about standing out, getting more money for your property, getting more return guests than everybody else does. Pricing on this one was, you know, it was okay. It was kind of an afterthought for me. It was probably a little bit more money than some of the area properties. And I was okay with that because, again, as we'll get into on today's podcast, there was this luxury element and things like that that I knew would, I'd score a few points with Jeanette. And again, I was the one picking. I wanted it to be really nice. I didn't want it to be a letdown. Not that it was a surprise, but it was sort of something I planned and just kind of let her go along the ride for. And just a little foreshadowing here, it had a really nice picture of a Nespresso coffee machine, which I knew would make Jeanette very happy.
I love Nespresso coffee. We have one ourselves. And so that kind of signaled to us that, oh, this is going to be a little bit extra.
But wait, there's more on the Nespresso coming.
Oh, yeah. So let's just talk first about our initial impressions and some of the positives. So as we said, it was in a great location. It was in a nice part of town with these cute little bakeries and sandwich shops, just steps from the door. We could walk everywhere. Actually, we didn't know how accessible it was to all these cute little places. That was one thing the owner probably could have sold in his description better. But the other thing was the parking spot was so close and convenient. It was right outside the kitchen window. So that was nice. It was pouring down rain when we got there. So we were really thankful we didn't have to walk far. And as I said before, it was really well decorated. We know that there must have been a designer involved in it. The first thing we noticed was the kitchen. It had high-end quartz countertops, beautiful cabinets. The light fixtures were extra nice. It really was everything we saw in the pictures and everything you would expect in a high-end place.
It was safe. Now, again, that's one of those things, like, I don't know how you really talk about safety in a description of your Airbnb or VRBO without freaking people out. But I do think there's a way to talk about how, you know, across the street from services, walkable, friendly area, great part of town, things like that. But it definitely lived up to being safe. It was, again, our initial impression and was the case. One thing was that the house manual, the house book, was actually buried in a stack of cookbooks. So fortunately, Jeanette was looking through the cookbooks. I guess she was thinking about cooking and found the house manual.
So now we're going to talk about why we're talking about all this, because there were some huge misses. And so get ready for a big rant. And it's all about coffee. I don't think any STR should not have coffee. So what was really frustrating for us, especially me, was that they had this beautiful picture of an espresso coffee machine on their listing. And when we got to the kitchen, there it was, but there was not one coffee pod available. And that's a problem because, as you all probably know, Nespresso coffee pods, you can't buy those in the grocery store. You can only get those online and have them shipped. So anybody walking in there without Nespresso coffee pods would be very unhappy because they would not have coffee in the morning and they would not be able to buy coffee for the next morning. So anyway, they provided the machine, but no pods. And so luckily, I had brought a sleeve of pods. In my opinion, coffee is a huge part of the morning routine and afternoons too for many people. It's not just the coffee. It's the convenience of being able to make it in your PJs if you want, not having to get dressed and go out and find a coffee shop nearby. Providing a coffee maker, and coffee shows that you're thinking of your guest comfort. I mean, people at the Hilton, the Four Seasons, they know what they're doing and they always have coffee. Even a 2 or 3 star hotel provides coffee in their rooms. So here's the kicker. They offered an espresso machine. They told us they were going to have an espresso machine, but then they didn't have coffee for it and there's no way to get coffee for it. So the owner would actually have been better off just not even promising the coffee in the first place. Really, what they should have done is just get a drip coffee maker, nothing too fancy, provide filters, and provide some coffee. Even if it's Folgers coffee, but why not just spend a bit more and get a drinkable coffee? Most guests will expect that there will be a functional coffee maker available with at least a little coffee so that they can make at least one cup of coffee in the first morning. And they can always go out and go shopping and buy coffee the next day. But that's just the minimum expectation, I would think. So I think that was a huge miss. And it honestly, I was really frustrated by that. That was the biggest miss they made. And honestly, probably the reason why I was ready to give them a 4 star already.
Yeah, I think, so that's a lot of coffee from Jeanette, but Jeanette loves her coffee.
I know, it is such a simple thing to provide, and people expect it. I mean, they didn't even have cream or sugar, not that I use cream or sugar, but people do, and they're not going to bring that with them on vacation. So this was unacceptable to me.
Now, we're still on the sort of the deeper dive, kind of after the first impressions and then into a little bit more as you roll the covers back. The next area was really the kitchen. Kitchen was beautiful. It was beautiful, kind of large vein quartz countertop that went throughout and, stainless. They were kind of undersized appliances, but stainless appliances. Very cool. Very modern. Looked great in the pictures. But as you open all these cabinets up, they're almost empty. There was 4 coffee mugs, 4 wine glasses, 4 drinking glasses, 4 plates, on and on, right? It was the Noah's Ark of kitchens. Not only is this just a bare minimum, there were plenty of cabinets in the kitchen. Put something in there, my goodness. It was just empty cabinets. It just felt like something out of a movie when they've broken into the cabin and there's nothing in the cabinets. That's just kind of what it looked like. It's the opposite of what we talk about, which is this thrill of abundance or the delight of abundance. Just was not that well thought out. The wine glasses still had stickers on them, so that means they bought them at the Home Goods or whatever and probably washed them, let's hope, but then they didn't take the little plastic stickers off the sides. So that's a head scratcher. Now, I will say these were like Riedel wine glasses. So these are, $10 a pop all day, maybe more. But I would also say they're super, super thin and delicate. And if you've ever seen me wash a wine glass, I'm going to break it. It's going to happen. So again, I would have rather had 12 dollar store glasses in the cabinet than 4 Riedel glasses, which actually cost more than the 12 doing it my way. Let's talk televisions for a minute. That's another area that we want to address here. I know for a fact that in some of our podcasts, I've made the kind of smart aleck comment about, well, who cares? They're not coming to just watch TV. Don't kill yourself on the TV. That's not why they're in your town. But I do want to say, without being a hypocrite, that you at least need to have your TV set up to be at the point where you can log into Netflix on your own account. That's fine. Or YouTube TV or whatever your poison is. The television in the kitchen on this house had not even been set up past the Roku point, which is what they used for their smart TV, which means when I turned it on, before I could even go to put my own account in for Netflix or YouTube TV, it wanted me to set up a new Roku account, which you can imagine I'm not going to give all my information to set up a Roku account on a television in Columbia, South Carolina in a home that I don't own. So, while I still believe people don't travel to Airbnbs to watch TV, you need to at least have that underlying minimal amount of access so that somebody can put their kids in front of the Disney Plus or whatever so that they can cook dinner, whatever their situation is. And frankly, if it's Super Bowl weekend or something and you can't even watch the game, that's going to give somebody give you a ding. Jeanette mentioned we showed up in a huge rainstorm, and it was cats and dogs kind of rainstorm. The only weather we could get was on our phones, We couldn't turn the TV on to know, hey, is the rain going to break so we can get out and have some dinner.
Yeah, it was just a little frustrating. And that's not, you don't want to frustrate your guests, right? So a couple more things that we noticed, and we're being nitpicky here, but there were such easy things that they could have fixed. And so we just want to make sure y'all know about these so that you will learn from their mistakes. Let's talk about the bathroom. I mean, it was beautiful. It looked brand new. It had beautiful light fixtures. It had beautiful plumbing fixtures. The floors are beautiful. The shower was beautiful. But I don't think the owner ever actually used it. The floor was made of this beautiful stone tile, but it was so cold that it actually hurt my feet to stand on it. It was that cold. So an easy fix would have been to put a rug down. So that was, you know, just really uncomfortable. The other thing was the water temperature. I mean, I know I like a really hot shower, hotter than John, but even he noticed how the water wasn't quite warm enough. It must have had it set like around 110 or lower. And that's just not enough. That's not hot enough. And so pay attention to that. Is your water hot enough for a comfortable shower? I mean, I understand you don't want it to be too hot where it could be dangerous for little kids, say, but it's important to me. So it's probably important to some of your guests too.
So I looked this up. The recommended temperature, and in some areas, it's actually the law when you first get your hot water heater, it's set at 120 degrees Fahrenheit. So that is clearly the bare minimum safety, and people then go up from there. But that way you're protected if you have a child that you're worried is going to burn themselves or something like that. We keep our house, the house we live in all the time, at 135. I think Haley's house is 150.
That's our daughter.
You can boil pasta. That's our daughter. You could boil pasta in her water.
Yeah. So just to continue with the bathroom description, one of the other really silly misses, I'm going to say, is they had this beautifully designed shower, but there was no place to put your shampoo or soap. They had these nice bottles of shampoo, conditioner, and body wash sitting next to the sink. When we put them in the shower, we realized, where do we put them? And poor John, he's 6'1". So it's not easy to have to, you know, go down to the floor to grab your shampoo and conditioner. So that was just, it'd be such an easy fix just to put a little shelf in there, put a little bench in there. So just be thinking about that, guys. And I think if you actually used the bathroom and used the shower, you would realize that and you would know what to do. So I guess the only other thing I was going to bring up is in the kitchen. The windows in the kitchen had no window coverings. So we were completely exposed to the outside, and it was right there next to a really busy like sidewalk and the street. So I felt really completely exposed there. So especially when it was dark out and the lights were on. So that would have been an easy fix. Just put some blinds up there or something.
It might have been 8 feet from the window to the sidewalk and people walking by, because as we mentioned, it was a cute area. Lots of walking, lots of coffee and sandwiches and bakeries and stuff like that. And that doesn't really bother me, but Jeanette's a little more sensitive to that. I get it, as a woman versus a dude in a t-shirt.
Definitely.
So let's talk about some things. We've definitely kind of dug the hole on this. And again, to be fair, we should have said this up front. This was a 4-star stay. That's not horrible, but on our podcast, 4 stars is not okay. And there was some really good things that we took away from this property, and we think that should be shared too. Obviously, that's usually what we do on our podcast. The first is, you know, the bed was super comfortable as a whole. The mattress was very comfortable. Now, it was a little weird because the pillows were super tall, like a foot tall. Like it was like being on a recliner if you had your head on the pillow. Felt like 3 pillows stacked up. I mean, I like tall pillows, but this was way over the top for me. And there was no alternative pillow. We've mentioned in our houseboat that we kept both the thicker pillow and the thinner pillow, I guess I would call it. You can stack it to make a really thick one. You can use the thin one if you want to go that route, or use the one in the middle and, you know, be just right. Also, the decor pillows, I guess you would call them, the decorator pillows that are there after that bed is made. There was at least 7 pillows, and they were huge. So you're in a very small bedroom with a foot on either side, you know, to walk, maybe 2 feet. But you throw 7 huge decorator pillows on the floor, and it's now like you know, floor is hot lava game. There's nowhere to step. You got to bounce across the bed. Anyway, but it was beautiful. And we're putting the decor of the bedroom and the comfort of the mattress in the good column here. Also, the lighting was really good. A lot of the places that we've stayed at have literally no overhead lights. There's a lamp that turns on when you flip a switch. We were just in Nashville recently at a home where, I mean, I think we had 20 lamps on in the bedroom, Jeanette, and still couldn't see what we were doing. We also stayed at a really nice hotel in Miami recently. The whole time Jeanette was getting ready in the bathroom, I just heard hemming and hawing about she can't see. She couldn't see anything. You barely see your hand in front of your face with all the lights on. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's frustrating when you're trying to put your makeup on and you can't really see what you're doing. And it's a little scary because you don't really know what you're going to look like when you go out in the real world. So anyway, they did a good job with the lighting, and that was appreciated. Speaking of lighting, they also had good room darkening covers on the windows, which was nice because John could actually sleep past 5 a.m. I appreciated that. They had one nightstand, which was great, but I'm a huge proponent for having a nightstand on both sides of the bed. It was a very small bedroom, and I think they opted for the king size bed instead of having the extra nightstand, which I understand that. And that was a nice feature to have a king bed. But they could have hung just a little shelf, just a small shelf on the other side, just big enough to hold a glass of water or maybe a cell phone. I ended up rolling my little suitcase over there next to my bed, and I used that for the nightstand. So just a small miss there. Another nice thing they had a smaller refrigerator, a smaller dishwasher, which is smart. It's a smaller kitchen, and so you don't need a huge fridge, and you don't need a huge dishwasher. So that was a smart use of space. And then I think one of our favorite little features that they had was they had this little sign next to the bed. And I even took a picture of it because I thought it was so clever. But what they did is they put this little plaque out and it says, quote, "We have heroes for neighbors. Should your friends have a busy evening, please use the sound machine to increase the comfort of your stay." And what they were referring to is the fire station that we noticed was across the street. And they had this cute little model fire truck sitting next to the plaque and a little white noise machine that you could use to try to mask the noise. We never used the white noise machine, but we also never really complained about the fire truck noises because, you know, they've completely repositioned that whole situation as heroes and friends of ours and not a nuisance. It was super, super smart. And you could do a similar thing if you were next to a police station or a train station or an airport. So super creative. Love that idea.
Yeah, that was such a good idea. That's maybe the best idea I've picked up from somebody else's short-term rental ever. Really cool idea. Also in the kitchen, on the list of really cool things, they had a vintage-looking map of Columbia, South Carolina on the wall. So it looked cool, kind of fit with the theme of the property, but also helped me with just kind of getting a visual navigational aid of what's going on in the city, lay of the land, et cetera. So again, not all bad stuff. And, you know, we mentioned the stuff that wasn't good, and we wanted to mention the things that were great as well. A couple other nitpicky little things that we just want to share that are way down at the detail planning level. One is the checkout times. The checkout times for this property were two different times in three different places, meaning they didn't match. And I know we've been guilty of this before and got called out on it, and oh my goodness, change it right away, because you do not want to confuse your guest with when are they supposed to leave. First of all, they always pick the latest one. And in this case, I think it was supposed to be 10, and we picked 11 because that's what the email said. So get that right. Get your checkout times all synced up. The door lock on the property, very cool. It was a keyless door lock, meaning not the kind like we have, which is a push a code and pull a key and then use the key to get in. This was do the code, door unlocks, do the code or push the lock button and the door locks. Now, this particular keyless entry used a application called August, which was a cool idea, but I mean, as a guest, I'm pretty techy. I had to download this August app ahead of time and get it all keyed up and talking to Airbnb and then get all that stuff kind of working so that it would automatically generate a code for me, But however, an hour out of town, it's about a 3 hour, 3.5 hour drive to Columbia, and an hour out of town, we still didn't have a code. So that is not a good position to be in as a guest. And as a host, boy, you better hope that when they finally ask for that code an hour out, that you're not in a movie or something and don't see it, because now you're going to have a very, very frustrated guest that cannot get into the home. And again, I think Jeanette mentioned it was pouring rain. It would have been a 2-star stay if we couldn't have got in that home when we first got there. I mean it.
Well, one thing that would concern me is if you're an older guest, all that technical stuff is complicated, and they don't all have smartphones. So something to think about. It worked fine for us because they did get back to us right away. The door lock worked great. One thing I didn't realize, though, when we left to go to the concert, I didn't realize I had to push a button to lock it. I thought it just locked automatically. So probably if they had a little bit more information on how the door lock worked, that would have been good, because I think I left the door unlocked for while we were at the concert, and that's not a good idea.
You most definitely did, but that's okay. I could have thought to remind you. Too much to think about. All right, so we're going to shift gears a little bit here. We've never done this before, and I don't make this too corny, but I want to sort of play Let's Make a Deal a little bit with Jeanette here, because this is something we did on the trip home as we talked about this episode. What I want to do is I'm going to challenge Jeanette. I'm going to give her $300, which is about the nightly price on this really cool spot. We're going to give her $300, and you're going to take that space, Jeanette, up to a solid 5-star stay.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for the challenge. Okay, easy one. Add a rug to the bathroom floor.
Okay, $50.
In the shower, just add a little bench or a shelf so that it'll hold the shampoos and the body wash, etc.
Okay, I'm probably a little high here, but I'm going to say $75 for that.
Get rid of a couple pillows. I mean, you can even sell them on Marketplace if you want and make a little money, and then spend some money, you know, on a couple of sleeping pillows that are lower profile. So have a couple of different sizes of pillows that your guests can choose from.
Okay, that's maybe $50.
Okay, this is a big one. Put a regular coffee maker into one of the empty cabinets in the kitchen.
$75, Costco, get a coffee, Mr. Coffee, whatever.
And you know what? There are a lot of tea drinkers out there too. So how about an electric kettle so they can have their tea and make it hot water really easily?
There are certain geographic locations that people travel from that also are big tea drinkers, let's be honest. And then people like me who are trying to be healthy, unlike you, and drink tea. So again, $50 for that. That's your $300. So now we're going to go to the speed round here. And rather than that sort of one-time investment, again, we just spent one night's rent, one night's fee, and you've just built in forevermore 5-star stays as far as the infrastructure of your home. Let's now do on a per stay, $25 per stay, set it aside. If it's $300 a night, that averages $600 a stay for a weekend stay. You're going to take $25 of chips, slide them over to the side, and invest them in things that will also help you get those 5 stars. How are you going to spend it?
Okay, number one, no big surprise, provide coffee. So coffee pods for your Nespresso machine, which is going to be on the high end, or just get coffee for a regular coffee pot.
Okay, $5 overhead of coffee. Big deal.
You know, provide some sugar packets and creamers. I don't use it, but I know a lot of other people do.
50 cents.
How about some tissues? I always like it when there's a box of tissues.
I'm going to say $1 if somebody has a cold. Maybe they spend $1 worth of tissues.
The other thing I like is body lotion. I don't usually pack it, and I should on vacation, so it's always nice when they provide that.
Yeah, we just made that part of our 50 cents, by the way, for those adding this up. We provide a body lotion as part of our shampoo, individual shampoo and body wash pack.
Yeah, I always use it when I'm at a hotel. I always use their lotion, and I appreciate it. You know what would be nice is have a couple bottled waters in the fridge.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm pausing because my initial reaction is that's $3 for the water. I think it probably depends on if your water in your tap's okay, let your guests know. Our water's great, tastes amazing, whatever. Okay, that's my cue to use tap water on the coffee pot. So yeah, $3 worth of bottled waters. If your water's not great, then that might be a little bit higher number. But again, if your water tastes horrible and your coffee tastes horrible and you didn't tell anybody that, you didn't provide them any water, you know, your five stars starts eroding too. So again, we're at $3 there.
Yeah, and I actually think that number's high because you can buy a bunch of bottled waters and they're only like probably 25 cents each. We like to provide snacks. I think it's a nice thing to have. You know, people have been traveling. They might be hungry and they don't have time. You know, they're getting ready to go out. I would say if you can, provide a few snacks. It'd be a nice treat and make them feel welcome.
So a few individual, you know, chips or Famous Amos cookies or whatever in a basket. I'll say $3 there too, and I'll combine it with the water. So whatever your proportions are from water and snacks, $6 between the two.
Remember, you're trying to stand out. So, I mean, not everybody does it, and that's why you do it. And the other thing that I think would be really nice is just a little welcome note.
And that's maybe $1, and that's based on, we had ours done at like Etsy or I don't remember where, or Moo or somewhere, and had these customized logoed thank you, welcome notes, not thank you, we made those too, but welcome notes that then Jeanette every time wrote a handwritten note on. So that's $1. And by the way, we're at $14 of your 25. So that's all you could spend on that list, apparently.
Yeah. And the thing is, like this place that we stayed at, they had a management company, I'm pretty sure. So they may not want to do welcome notes. And so it just depends on what kind of level of service you want to provide, I guess.
Well, again, the listing led me to believe it was a luxurious stay. I think for even the dollar welcome note probably includes the time for the management company to just say, welcome to the whatever property, and we hope you enjoy your stay and write a phone number down. Even that much that's still a welcome note. You don't have to do the whole, you know, greeting card thing.
All right, let's just wrap up with some final thoughts. When you promote or just show an espresso machine, Rydell wine glasses, high-end finishes and designs, and you charge maybe a little more than the other people in the neighborhood, we then expect more. We expect coffee pots to accompany the coffee pot. Yeah. Maybe even a bottle of wine as a welcome.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, they obviously, they bought nice wine glasses. They must be into wine, but they don't want to share it with you. You know, Jeanette had $25 to spend to make the difference between, you know, us coming back and giving you a 5-star review instead of 4-star, and she only spent $14. That's all it took. This will be a one-time only stay for us. I promise you that. Such a great place. So again, we don't want to paint this as some house of horrors. It's just not up to the level of what we would do and it would expect for this price in that community there. And we also won't be recommending this to other people. When they ask about our stay, we're going to say we had a great time in Columbia, saw a great show, but we're not going to be just volunteering this place and passing that information on to them. Again, we talked about the great play with the fire station next door. Again, I cannot even imagine how smart that was. I don't know where they got that idea, but I wish I had come up with it. And then lastly, at least from my perspective, the host was super low on the spectrum of communications, if that can be called a spectrum. You know, we've talked about not over-communicating because we've seen that done, but this was actually almost too far the other way. There was one automatically generated message within the platform early on. Like I booked and I got a message that says, great, we'll see you in, you know, next month or whatever it was. And then really nothing else further. Airbnb reminded me that the stay was a couple of days out, but nothing from the host, nothing about we can't wait to see you. Hey, if you haven't seen your code yet, it should be arriving in the day of, that kind of stuff. So I just felt for a guy who hates too much communication, this was not enough. Now, they were super responsive. So that was good. So like the thing with the code and the rain, they had a code to us instantly. That was great. But yeah, there's just something about being on the guest side. On the host, you're like, I don't want to bother these people. But on the guest side, there's something about the excitement of the trip. And you know, I planned it. Like I said, I wanted it to go off without a hitch. You don't hear anything and it's a few hours out of your actual check-in. You start getting a little bit nervous. I'll be honest with you.
So here's some suggestions for how you can avoid some of these misses that we talked about today. While you're still setting up your place, go and stay at a few other short-term rentals. What do you like about them? What did they miss that you shouldn't miss? Take some notes. Stay at your place and evaluate it from the guest perspective. You know, someone that's out of town or from out of town and not familiar with the area. Did you sleep well? Does your place feel welcoming, comfortable, safe? Were you able to easily make a cup of coffee or tea? Seriously, it's important. Did the TVs work? What was the noise level like? Do you need to provide a noise machine? And then, really important, have a friend stay there. Have them use the platform. Get their feedback. How was the communications? Was there anything that you missed? What was awesome and needs more attention, more highlight in your listing? If you had done that, if you had had somebody stay there, you might have caught that the floor was cold and just needed a rug, and you might have realized that there wasn't room for all those big pillows.
Well, that's it for standout hosting for this episode. We got one more in the books. It feels so good to be back. It's been a while. I will remind you that if you're a new listener, we did a real similar review, much shorter, for a Mexico stay in a previous podcast. So go check that out. It's got some fun music, and we had a little more fun. So check it out. We also have some more stays on the horizon that we have planned. So we will report back here with some updates around our Oregon wine villa that we have planned and a few other things coming up.
Yeah, maybe we'll learn some new ideas.
So for this episode, guys, I'm John.
And I'm Jeanette.
And thanks for sticking with us at Standout Hosting. Hey guys, it's John.
And Jeanette.
And we wanted to let you guys know that the Dockside Houseboat that you've heard so much about for so many episodes here on the podcast is now part of the Cove Wilmington, which is a beautiful 40 houseboat community located right on the Cape Fear River in historic downtown Wilmington.
Check it out at covewilmington.com.